to the growth trajectory that we are talking about in Addis-Abeba. And that is the thing that occupies us as we roll out our program. There are a number of things that are in Algeza that we get involved through our SOE team, and we'll go through them as we get into them. Okay. The issue that is always asked to us is, what is really our role? Because you have policy department, you have a department of water affairs, you have energy, you have transport, so it's very clear. Now, we are a department of public enterprise, and not all public enterprise report to us, so there are key but few public enterprises that report to us. Now, the issue becomes, what is our role? Because those public enterprises, they operate as well as commercial entities within the state. Now, what is our role? Mainly, we are an oversight department. We play a role of being a shareholder in this SOE to make sure that they do in their corporate strategies, in their commercial activities, they do reflect on what is the agenda of the coming of the day. And that's where we really come in. We put together the board, we appoint through the board, in connection with the board, the senior management. We determine the issues around guidelines on remuneration. We approve the corporate plans and strategies, the borrowing plans, and all those things. And that's really how we manage to ensure that we exercise strong oversight on our SOEs. Now, you will see that there are a number of issues that we are interested in as a country, and we think that through SOEs we have an opportunity to leverage on their activities. The issues around the efficiency that is critical in our economy, how competitive we are, our input costs. The SOEs play a critical role in that. If we don't have low telecommunication costs, low energy costs, that will have an impact on how competitive our economy is. Now, through our role in managing the SOEs, we ensure that we factor this in. There are issues around the interventions that we're making in the energy sector, in the telecom sector, for example, the infraco that we are talking about, that we're already having a bill that is up and coming so that we can discuss it at the public level. But those are the interventions we're looking at. On the nuclear side, we will talk about what we are doing on PDMR and also EPCOM nuclear program to make sure that the issues of security supply are addressed. You know the NEV, we are engaged in turning around that company to make sure that the technologies that we have in NEV can contribute to advanced manufacturing that we want to suit the country. We also play a critical role on the infrastructure program of the SOE. We will talk about the infrastructure program of EPCOM in the next 5 years and Transnet as our key SOEs rolling out the infrastructure program. Okay, I alluded earlier to our mandate as a department. It's really to exercise oversight on the key SOEs that we have here, and we work together with other policy departments to make sure that the coordination and SOEs play a critical role in the service environment. Our vision really is to have, at the end, our SOEs being run efficiently. And SOE is playing a critical role in the key industries that they operate in. Because we believe if SOEs can be efficient, the industry, because they are monopolies in this industry. Now, if we can make sure that the SOEs are efficient, that would result in the efficiency in industries, and that should flow through the economy and improve our competitiveness as a country. And that's really our vision, to make sure that our SOEs, they are run efficiently, and they contribute to the reduction of cost, mainly in the business, but also they also contribute to the socio-economic program of government. Our vision is to make sure that the SOEs play a critical role in this new growth trajectory that we're talking about in Asia. Through the transport and logistics and energy, telecom, through what we are talking about on the transport side, you know, we believe that we will be making an impact in the country by ensuring that the SOEs they contribute to the sustainability of higher economic growth. We also have SOEs playing a critical role in Nepal. Mainly these are the energy, Eskom and Transnet, and also Dinel also in other African countries playing a critical role. And we think that will support the Nepal program. The mission case is to ensure that at the end of the day we have proper governance in the SOEs, and that we are able to monitor the performance of the SOEs and the contribution they are making to the economy, and be able to also report to the public, government, and media. So that once everyone knows that we are tracking the SOEs, that will be a pressure on the SOEs itself to ensure that performance improves on a consumer basis. The commitments we already made last year were around the shareholder management model. You recall that we said that we are going to come up with legislation on this issue so that there is clarity around remuneration, around risk management, a number of issues that we wanted to cover in legislation, so that it provides some framework as to how, even for other departments who are running or who have SOEs supporting them, that this shareholder management system provides a framework. That's one. We'll talk about that and the progress that we have made. We are going to talk about the infrastructure program of mainly GNL, Transnet and Eskom. We have had the revised numbers on the Eskom side to make sure that we address the supply issue in energy. There were a number of interventions in some of the SOEs, such as GNL, ALEXCO, where we needed to recapitalize some of the SOEs to strengthen their balance sheet. We will talk about that as well. And I did talk about the famous problem. So far, we have made progress on a number of issues. First is within the department we have in a way restructured the department to ensure that there is a proper focus of teams in specific SOEs. So for example, we have the energy, mining, team, we have transport team, we also have a team called manufacturing, that's more your GNL, so we have improved how we have structured the team in the department so that people with special skills can focus purely on specific SOPs. And that has helped a lot, because then the team, they are not all over, and the oversight has improved a lot in monitoring the SOPs. I think on the legislation side, we have done, I think, there has been progress on the transfer pension fund amendment bill. The FAA bill is also in the process. We will be submitting the InfraCo and the South African Express bill to think they have been to come approved just as come through the process. The progress on the shareholder management model, there are still consultations that we need to work with DPSA and Treasury mainly. But a number of modules have been completed. We just need to make sure that we tie it up with what the DPSA is doing on the review of public entities and government and other things. There has been progress on subcon. You would recall we said we are still going to look at our involvement in forest, and we have reached a stage where we have decided to get out of forest and sell subcon, the KLS market. We still need to just look at how we are going to structure it, because we remember last time when we tried to sell KLS, the competition commission came back and said, it was huge, and we're going to create commission problem. Now we are going to review how we package it so that they can be effective. In this program, we have need to make to get a quarterly report. We have a dashboard that we use as a checking system on what are the risks, what are the challenges, progress made on each project, both for F-form and transport. We have gone to cabinet on the community supplier development program to make sure that as the SOEs roll out the CAPEX, we have issues around localization and also make sure that we improve on the supplier side in the country, that they are able to develop local capacity and not just rely on foreign suppliers. I mentioned earlier our structure. We used to call it an accident risk management. We now call it energy mining and broadband. This is the and then under manufacturing enterprises, we have GNL, CDMR, and support. We used to call that corporate structure and strategy. We also have the transport enterprises, namely Transnet and FAA. What happened is we changed the Infraco. We took out Infraco out of the energy to be part of the TDMR section, because we wanted to bring mining energy, especially TDMR. I will talk about the issues around TDMR. The plan is to make sure that the TDMR and ESCOM are aligned around such as the nuclear affair that we are having. And then we have our governance side, legal governance and secretariat. What we have done, if you recall, we used to have ARM used to be not the real punishment. The government will remove this punishment to be part of governance, mainly because of the shareholding management model that we see. So this punishment is now part of governance. We used to have JTF, the Joint Project Facility, as a sub-component of the program CSF. Now, Joint Project Facility is going to be a program because we call it a program C. This is the track of the taking water. This is our overall budget compared to last year. Can come back to the CFO to see some of the changes that they've got in here. This is the statistics, the sentiments are in the CFO is also here. If there are questions for me, you want to cover the administration? Okay, we'll have questions that you cover administration.
I'm going to cover administration. In administration, the options limit segment, administration is operations, the DG's office, and the minister's office makes up administration. These subjects probably include operations. In HR, they have quite a few projects, like the most important one will be the job evaluation. In corporate services, the security services will have started this year. Information management, the stability of the network, the overall network, and security also of the network. And implementation strategy will be important, and also some of the policies that they have to respect this year will also be critical in that unit. The purpose of administration really is the overall direction of the department and also the administration, and to see that things are running smoothly in the department. The measurable objective is to provide strategic service direction to the minister and leadership of the duty. Support services in operation includes the IT services, finance, HR, communications and marketing, corporate services, support, and the internal audit workforce under the CRO's scope. The top programs, like I said before, is the ministry, the DG's office, and then corporate services. It's all corporate services in the teams and vice versa operations. We also, the objectives also include improved corporate governance, performance monitoring, that's also HR, and also we look at policy processes and procedures in the operation. Administration, the budget for last year was 26 million there, that was compensation. The normal increase to 39 million there. Booking services increased because of centralization mostly of equipment, fax machines, we didn't put it under the unit, but we all centralized it under operations. Telephone station and recruitment exercises was all centralized this year. But that's normal. Capital expenses and decrease. We had renovations the previous year, but we did not have renovations.
This program, but that's the program I'm actually heading in this study. This is the energy and mining. As I indicated earlier, we have restructured the unit size by moving in Fraco broadband into manufacturing. Essentially, we are focusing on Alexco and Epco. Now that we have the nuclear program, we are going to incorporate CDMR into this part, because CDMR will ultimately be part of ICOM. So this is really what we do. The purpose is to ensure that we monitor performance of the system. On the ICOM side, we monitor the infrastructure program, the RT, the health service program, the OCGT, SEM that they have in the workplace. And we do this on a regular basis. If you recall, sometime last year, we commissioned a study through TIFIS to look at the supply issue in the energy side. A number of issues were coming out of that study around the reserve margin issues that we needed to make sure that we get policy, very clear policy, but it was not clear from ESCOM side as to what the reserve margin are they following the framework. And even from the Department of Minerals and Energy, we did not have a clear, defined reserve margin that ESCOM must comply with. So, but we are currently working with the GMB on that. Currently, we have ESCOM playing reserve margin at around 8 to 10%. The practice, international practice, should have 15%. In some countries, they are actually more than that. But of course, there are also cost implications of having a higher reserve margin. But I think it's better to have a lower reserve margin, given the cost of shutdowns and all that economy. One of the issues that came up was how do we integrate the internal forecasting model of ESCOM, which they call ICEF model or framework, and you have the regulator also having its own forecasting model called the NIP, National Load Plan. So we are working with GMB on that to see how we can integrate and have one forecasting model as a national guide, so that as you have private sector also getting involved, there will be a clearly defined planning policy on energy. But currently, we have that problem of two plans, both from ESCOM and the regulator. But however, there will be a GMB on that. We are working with GMB as well on the ICP process. The independent power producer process. There has been a tender from GMB. We have worked with ESCOM on the power purchase agreement because they would be the off-takers of that energy when it comes. And we are working with GMB to ensure that by 2009 we do have the IPPs on board. That's the plan. We are also looking at, in future, having an arrangement with GMB to allow ESCOM to we call it the single buyer model. ESCOM will not just be an off-taker, they will even run the tender as a digital tender volume. Because currently we have GMB issuing a tender and running with the tender, and then they hand over to ESCOM. But we don't think that has been needed. One of the areas that has been problematic on the energy side is the EDI process, the electricity distribution industry process. If you recall that cabinet took a decision that we will go ahead with the 6 wall-to-wall model, and we will also make sure that the rates, they become public entities governed by PFSA, but also under the the oversight of the regulation. And that process is being rolled out. We are in discussions with Treasury and GMB and CPSG. Already we have some draft deal from GMB, which we are in discussions on. The intention is to take them to cabinet, and cabinet agrees them to go out for the parliamentary vote. There are a number of issues that we are concerned about in that country, especially for efforts in the fishing business, because we have to make sure that the issues of compensation, the issues of how long Eskom will be in the race, the issues of assets and everything, and shareholding are resolved in. Because if we don't, that would have an impact on the other base of the form and could have implications around the credit rating and the financing arrangement, especially as we go through the build program. One of the issues relates to the future of the key customers that are currently within the form. These are the big Sasol, UHP, Alchem. What will happen once they have the rate? Are they still going to the Eskom, or they will move to the rate? That's one of the issues we are concerned about in the deal. I think we, on the issue of the new build program, I mentioned earlier that we are, government has agreed to ensure that in the build program, the issues of competitive supplier program are addressed to make sure that as SOEs procure materials and others from overseas, they make sure that we build some local capacity in the country and we don't rely on foreign suppliers. So we will be working with them on that. You recall that the key issues in Article 1 is the land play process, which we have now signed with the community an agreement, which will involve us giving them the ABG, the non-binding, and also recapitalizing Alexco. Also, they need to be compensated through their land assets department. And the plan is to have a joint venture of Alexco and the community. They call it the what is it called?
Yes, baby. Yes, pooling and
sharing. Pooling and sharing joint venture that would have a joint board and joint management. Because the idea is we did not want to just pull out of Alexco. Also, there are a number of of issues relating to mining legislation where the community currently can't just give them the mining rights. They need to have another company that has experience, has material to mine. So we have agreed that we will have 1% in the joint venture, and then the community will have 1%. And then we will then create a number of companies on the non-trading side, the ABC. Things like property company for them will take over. Agriculture, they will also take over the things, the oysters and everything will go to the community, and they will have to make sure that they create a proper company for us. You would recall that there was an announcement made about DGS, that the GMB has a memorandum of understanding with with DGS, but it largely has to do with you know, the discussions that DGS and having the government around the diamonds, such as water, taxes, so they reach a deal to say the DBS will assist the Department of Minerals and Energy with the trading infrastructure. The trading infrastructure of the DBS like Dangan will now be a basis for what DBS wants to do. They want to create a trading company. So the DBS will assist them. But then in that MOU, they then agreed that because the DBS have mines in Mozambique, they will also look at how Alexcom can also be integrated, and the DBS have, or Alexcom have 20% of their mines of the DBS mines. But we are still going to finalize that because we initially were not involved, but involved later. And we are, they have always respected that, you know, there was another process we are having with the community. Now what we need to do is, after this agreement with the community, how are we going to make sure that the NEL arrangement still goes through? We also, if you recall, gave Alex all money for their working capital needs, but also for exploration last year. An amount of about 80 million was given to Alex for. It had to do with establishing the township, also the environmental issues they needed to address, but also the working capital. There was a time when Alex did not have enough cash to even pay salaries. So we have recap salaries, I think, each million last year. But even going forward, because the PLJB is expected to be on board from August, so between now and then, we are aware that Alex will still need some money because of the loss-making nature of the APG site and the mining site that is across the United. SACO, I mentioned earlier that we have now a deal approved by cabinet. It will come through the legislation process. The idea is to make sure that we establish SACO as soon as possible, and we already have managed to buy all the assets that are in Transnet and Eskom. So we now have a sort of a subsidiary of Eskom for now, but once the infrastructure legislation is passed through, we'll then have a new company. That will deal with the national part of infrastructure. Beyond that, we still want to pursue the international side. Remember, we said as part of infrastructure, we will also look at having the marine cable to connect with the rest of the world. The task that we have been completed now, we think we should be ready in the next 18 months to have a clear plan and maybe even include other investors, because I don't think we are facing the government to change alone. Connectivity, we will have to involve private sector. Yeah. Yes, this is the budget of the unit. I think the transfers mainly that include the infra command and Alex command. Yeah. This is our governance section. I indicated earlier, you have legal, you have governance, risk, and the secretariat in 1 minute.
Okay.
I think what has been occupying our this unit mainly has been the bills that I talked about. The SAA bills, Travco, transfer of South African Express. They are also working on the structure of PDMA. The ideas around how do we make sure that we align what PDMA is doing on the nuclear side and what they're going to do. There are issues around the legal issues on the KLF restructuring. We are working on the proposal as to how are we going to dispose of the package in what form. So the tender issue, what the tender that needs to be issued, that's what is being drafted by the team now. There are issues around Informa. Informa, this is one of the support subsidiaries in Mozambique. Given that we are saying we're pulling out of forest, we will have to look at the future of Informa as well, particularly talking to the Mozambican government to see that maybe they would be interested or any arrangement could be made. And really, one other thing would be more internal legal work that the team work on, litigation, the other law of litigation that are coming from the past. The shareholder management model, as indicated, is still not complete, but we have different modules being completed already. We still need to make sure that we interact with the GPSA and Treasury on the other projects that they are having, that reviews the GSMA and all the SOPs in the country. We do have a framework for shareholder compact that we have with SOP. That will also be part of the shareholder management model once it's approved. You recall we have made some appointments in some of the board, to strengthen the board, mainly when other people were, their camps were expiring and all that, we needed to get more people on some of the board. There are a number of guidelines that are still coming through around remuneration, the board, profiling board members, and also making sure that the board members are fully trained, so that some people, they, for the first time that are there, some of them have never been on our SOE, so we also need to make sure that they understand the sector, the business, and also from the shareholder side, the issues of PSMA. So we do also prepare training for them. The secretariat, they mainly they run the CFO forum. We have a number of forums. We have CEO forum, we have the Shepherds forum, we have the risk forum, but also in the cluster, the economic cluster, our secretariat plays a key role there. We have the risk management team. They have a lot of work has been done on the risk management framework, on the treasury management of SOE, but we are now in the process of securing the risk management system that will be used together with the SOE and facilitate reporting on risk management. Okay, this is the budget. As I mentioned, that we did move risk management from ARM initially. It was not part of LGR, but we moved it to ensure that it aligns with the shareholding number. Okay, I have. We have to capitalize Jinel. There is a turnaround strategy that the management and the board are working on. We continue to work with them very closely. We monitor them on a regular basis. The idea is to make sure that we get those areas where we want private sector to be involved, those partnerships where we can get key global players can add value on the general side. That's what we are working on. We work with the Department of Defense to ensuring that we keep the capabilities in general, and also the arms able to ensure that they can buy more from Jinel than what's happening now. But currently what's happening is find Jinel exporting more than selling to the army. So we are trying to coordinate that process so that Jinel can then get some guarantees on the work that they need to do, but also that should be able to help their funding. Because in other countries that's a fine where government ensure that the SOE can provide critical capabilities to the army. I mentioned the support transaction that we are now going to sell the KLF package. We are working on a tender. We have to finalize how are we going to divide the package so that it does not have the competition issues. CDMR, as I said, we are working on a proposition that will lead to CDMR being part of that convention to ensure that we align the nuclear program of ESCOM, conventional nuclear program, and the ESCOM and CDMR. We already have a draft nuclear policy. GMP that we are also commenting on, that should be able to inform our strategy on GDMR and the form. So this is the budget. Yeah. Okay, Samson.
Thank you, James. Afternoon, Chair, of the committee. I think you'll recall earlier, James, that indicated that the department that now the South African Airways Bill has been processed through Parliament. We're on the last stages of wrapping up the suspensive conditions to finalize the sale and make SAA completely a new SOE. And so, but for the most part, for the latter part of last year, South African Airways basically has been reporting more to us than transfer. So one of the significant changes in the transport program 5 for this year is an addition of South African Airways, and later on our plan for the year is South African Express. Where both these businesses were first part of Transnet, and the department dealt with those businesses as part of the Transnet group and in our oversight of Transnet as a whole. These two businesses, South African Airways and South African Express, will now become separate SOEs, and we created a new unit essentially to take care of the aviation SOEs, and then we will have our existing unit still dealing with the rest of the transport group. Now, if we look at some of our major outputs that we'd like to achieve for Transnet in this year, members might recall that last year we went through a process where we had transferred the metro rail business from Spoornet to the SARCC and DOT as part of the cabinet decision to integrate all of the passenger railway services. This year we would be working on the last strand of that, which is transferring social load of mail out of Transnet to the SARCC and the Department of Transport. So, and in fact, I think just recently there's been an adoption of a process to essentially spend most of this coming year working on it. Members will see a whole range of indicators and milestones there. This particular process is a little bit different from Metro Rail. The Metro Rail one was only transferring of employees from Spoornet to SARCC. SARCC had already owned the assets, the rolling stock, the trains and the coaches. They had already owned it, and Metro Rail was just the operator. In this business year of social load of mail, the assets actually belong to Spoornet. The rolling stock, the trains and the coaches and the locomotives belong to Spoornet and the stations that they operate. So in transferring this business would be a bit more complicated because we have to go through a full valuation of the assets and work out pricing and so on that will go through it. So that would be a project. Also, members I think would recall that there was some industrial action instituted by Labour at the time that the Metro Rail transaction was going to be done, I think in December 2005. We are trying to work much closer with Labour this time around and over a more protracted period to avoid such an occurrence again on this. But the relationship is really improved a lot. On the aviation side, We obviously quite but in the news lately was the 1.3 billion first tranche recapitalization of South African Airways. There's still quite a bit of money in terms of recapitalizing the business that needs to go into the business to assist with its turnaround and its sustainability. That is dependent, however, on the business themselves undertaking a certain number of things and achieving a certain number of targets. But what we have got planned for the year is that they would achieve those targets, and it would become necessary then for further recapitalization of the business and strengthening of the balance sheet. And obviously, we are in extremely ongoing and heavy negotiations and discussions with the National Treasury around the recapitalization of SAA. Some of the other key outputs for the aviation part of the Transnet program is aligning the restructuring plan of SAA and also SAA Express to an extent with the long-term aviation strategy of government. The airlift strategy of the Department of Transport that was approved by Cabinet last year, and the general aviation policy review happening. So we need to, of course, also with the in support of a long-term tourism growth strategy, which is one of the key ESA programs. So we really are going to undertake a significant exercise to restructure how these airlines to realign the objective of the airline with the tourism industry. We will then seek to be obviously finalizing the legislation processes with regards to both SAA and SAS in terms of finalizing making those businesses completely new SOEs. One other item that unfortunately is not on there, which is important to mention, Chair, is that as per also on the ESCOM side, the rollout of the dashboard for monitoring the investment program of Transnet include also key activity for this unit for this year. Our budget, as you can see, substantially the main increase there has been compensation of employees and goods and services, because we now essentially have a second function within that unit of the aviation enterprises and the charter enterprises. So essentially we have an increase in staff components and then also an increase for goods and services in terms of research and studies and consultants that we want to bring in on the aviation side as well. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Okay. I'll be very quick on this one. It's what we call a joint project facility. The unit really is the unit that leverages on the capability across the SOE. So, for example, the main project here would be the community supplier program, and that's going to make sure that SOE, as they procure their new build program, they make sure that they build the local capacity as well. Then one of the things that is coming across in the new build program as well is the HR skill issue. This unit is working with the presidency on skills, IPSA, and also they work with the SOEs to identify where are the skill shortages and what's done to make sure that we don't have a problem in running out of the second program. One of the projects that they are working on is the pipeline to see if we can make sure that we investigate building some pipelines. For example, we have OCGTs in the Western Cape, the ESCOM one, and there's a problem of how do we get gas there. There are discussions in media and other stakeholders to see if we can be able to roll out pipelines to make sure that the shortage of gas is addressed. The other project that they've been working on relates to our approach of SOEs in Africa. This is a project that we've been working on for some time to see how we coordinate the involvement of SOEs into Africa, so that you don't have different SOEs just going into Africa and without an informed strategy. On the ICT, in Krakow essentially comes out of initially, the unit that conducted the study of capabilities in Transnet and SHL, and as we were having discussions on the FNO, that's where we discovered that we actually are going to be handing over critical capabilities to the private sector, and then the deal was made that we need to put those assets out and put them into the trouble. There are issues relating to environmental approvals that SOEs like EFCON and Transnet, as they roll out the program, they need the EIAs and all that. Now, this unit, what they have done, they are working with the SOEs and DMV to make sure that there is an alignment as the SOEs are rolling out the program. Their applications are fast-tracked, and there is coordination with the DUD to ensure that they don't delay unnecessarily some of the applications. So we have some consultants, for example, who also work with SOEs to make sure, because that's one of the things we discovered, that SOEs were also not properly checking on during their planning of this project. They were not incorporating proper planning on environmental issues to make sure that it complies with the legislation. So we have consultants who are assisting the project as well. the one of the major projects of the program has been the property project. This relates to all the non-core properties of the community, how we can package them and dispose them in a particular way. We have provided the guidelines in the So these are the properties that will be disposed centrally by the department to ensure that we have all the criteria that we need to receive all that we dispose, especially on the town, but also make sure that we package some of the properties.
Thank you very much. The DDG, am I correct?
Yes.
And his staff. Perhaps because I convey, I was a little. I didn't the process of this meeting that much. That is why I was not able to indicate that. I am actually not the representative of this committee, no. I have just been appointed for some few minutes and from there my power collapsed. The chairperson, as you know, is not no chief point on a meeting. It's a different. Mr. Chamber, who is attending to family matter, and Ms. Connery, who was supposed to keep the committee going on her behalf, is herself attending another meeting dealing with international issues. That is why she was not able to come. And then perhaps, in that note, I wish to welcome Mr. Blatt, and I hope your presence will contribute towards the success of this encounter. Now, ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, we have had the brief from the department. Are there any issues we would like to raise? I will be the last. This is the minister of the job. I will ask. And the first person I will ask is the last person, provided none of you ask me to ask the issues I want to.
This is regards to the issue of oversight as an ESCOM. If I think that here on Monday by now, new constituency day, not Friday, I think it's more proactive so that we can we find that these people have got constituency days on Friday, they seem to do other things, but now on Monday it's a working day, it seems to be. And I think it's a very interesting meeting in my constituency with the the CPX, the Community Policing Forum, the rural branch of that. And why I'm asking this question to ESCOM, the issue was raised about some of the farmers, that about this whole electricity redistribution or distribution thing, and the fact that some of the energy that are lost, and how that is being legislated. And I wonder why, and the fact that farmers now, because of the loss of energy and that they must continue with their farming activity, must start buying out of their own pocket generators and things like that. So I just wonder how, what is the oversight role, and what is the way forward from your side on how to handle this issue? Because I know that the electricity issue is the issue that affects the whole economy, but I mean, this was a specific question that was asked to me to see if I can get some answers. And I told him, you know, I have to ask the subject because I don't know what to say to you. I understand the problem, but I don't know what the solution is. And the main problem in the rural areas is, according to them, the fact that people are illegally cutting electricity and that nothing's actually been done because it's too dangerous to go into certain areas for ESCOM personnel, even if they go with security, it's too dangerous. And if they do get into the area and they do, stop the tapping, then the minute they leave, it switches on again. So I don't know how we're going to handle this, but it is a serious issue.
Any further questions? Mr. Capoeira, any other brethren, whether I have the ministry so that when we ask for the forces, they come on the wall. Mr. Capoeira, and then Honorable.
Thank you, Honorable Chief and Dia. I greet everybody that's here. And for me, it is the issue of re-capitalization. We hear that the male and he is being recapitalized. So my question is that when will these SOEs be able to be commercially viable? Are we going to continue recapitalize them every time, or are we going to see that they become really viable so that they can stand on their own feet and just recapitalization be ended? And the second question is that in relation to the differently able people, we know that this is a great challenge. But because of the relevant skills, this challenge exists. So what's the SOE going to do about training them or see that these skills give identity to these differently able people? Otherwise we're going to remain having them not in here and making the same excuse. So I think the partnership explained it. What is the plan to revise this element in the system? Thank you very
much.
Thank you, Chair. Nice to see you today. A couple of questions. First of all, health score at the last meeting and Kudo and Rajiv asked for some kind of detail on what's happening there. I think that the NAL as well, we need to know the committee some kind of detail. It's not good enough to tell us changing the motion, checking this, we want to know what to check. The board members, I would like to see who have we got on the various boards, what are their qualifications, who are they? It's my experience, and I hope the last time is that when you have one person looking up his head, everybody wants to have one person. Sometimes you find you have a certain person on 10 boards. Satisfy ourselves a little bit. I know the last time we spoke on what people were earning, what they took at home, what they took with the tipping in the form of millions of rand. People glossed over that and felt it was easy. I just want to make it very clear here, I think, what these CEOs of earnings and the extras they're getting for busking doesn't make sense when you look at all the policy around them. We need to have very, very, very seriously considering that government has their hands in the system. I know you've got a lot on your plate. I don't know how you handle the position as well. How do you do it? It's a big question. Center A, to me, is a big source of what is. Say you're having a turnaround, 7 feet an hour, turnaround test. I think we might have more detail as time scales and comes as to what those turnaround tests are. It's a very important thing of money into. Now I'm just shooting all over the team. Sorry, Chair. Transnet Pension Fund. That's almost fast. I made the observation that the board was very careful in observing that no outside agency should be able to cut the pension fund.
finishing this view. How we need to use the Dom of Kula, double Lugan Central Station Trans. I made the observation. In front of the minister, that's fine. We lost that. But further down the boat was saying that should the person leave your employ, that you have the right to touch the patient. That means that the word is not done. And I ask you to attend to it. And I just want to know if that attendance is good. I just want to change the conversation. Nobody should have to touch the patient. Not even the employer that employs you. Even if you're owning for a house or whatever, those houses should be insured, not taken from the fence in front of the house that you live in. So I just want to know if there's any change of light that you share with that. And then, of course, you talk with Ashmore, you just talk with him about the technical things, you talk about the mining house that's coming in, you talk about the government and the land claim there, our policy is very desperate. Paramount important that you need to get. I think that people are not pressing the government that should in the first place not allow you to back up for the land claim in the first place. And now, I know it's the money to do the right.
Any other issues?
I'm just curious, you know, I think I understand this whole consideration theory of the department as the oversized body, but I think as any of the shibori would like to know, you know, how much influence does the department have with this older SOE and how much right do you have? Now, I just want to know how much influence do you have with all the different SOEs?
I think it's my turn now. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I have the DDG during the division indicating something to the extent that at some stage Alex Koh was facing a chip view. And in one way or another, the government came in and made a financial injection. Am I right? Now, what I want to know, is there a way in which the government wants to recruit the money, or is it something that has come as a gratis protection? Secondly, when I look at the budget included in this, now this item of compensation for employees, I see the increase come 50% and 50% plus. Now, I don't know, perhaps because I know well versed in method of budget. Is it that we foresee a situation where more of our workers are going to get injured, or they are going to be more sites? What is it that makes us move in that direction? Or it might also include the possibility of us, the government, maybe to be specific, facing some penalties where we might. But what is it that informs our increasing the budget? Thirdly, I heard the DDG saying, now that the nuclear power has become one of the things we talk about and we look forward to, as not more alternative, but as one aspect of dealing with the energy problem, we begin to feel that there is a need to have this nuclear element removed from ESCOM and be part of the PBM. Now, I don't know. Usually, when any country begins to talk about the need for nuclear power for civilian people, there are serious voices that are heard from beyond borders that there is a suspicion that we or whoever wants that is being seen as moving towards hidden or secret, I don't know which word is, manufacturing of nuclear weapons. Now, in this case, is ESCOM not a good shield for us as a civilian utility, if I can do that way, so that we would be seen to be saying, anyone who might be interested, let you or him come, let me look at what it is. Perhaps there might be economic and security compelling reasons which I cannot think is I don't know. But generally, I don't know. I think perhaps we need to have more information on this, so that the moment that voices come up, we are very well armed to deal with them from the very beginning, so that we don't find our country talked about in a negative sense. We don't want that, because we are very positive people and we want to be seen in that sense. So if we can get to know, sometimes we can assist. Lastly, the department indicated, I mean, the DDG indicated that the department is gearing itself to be fully ready for the support of the NIPA in terms of, let's say, the project generally. But then when we talk of NIPA, I see this as something that extends beyond our border, am I right? And in that case, are we having, I know sometimes what I'm going to ask might need the political base, which perhaps the department may not be able to provide now, because it needs another level to deal with that. But if that is the case at the moment, do we say we have some means in place to see to it that we don't end up having not only our shoulders in jacking up these projects on the other table, but we find ourselves going to full swing the whole body in terms of involving those other members of the organization that is behind NIPA? Do we have something which we can put on the table to say, come along, let's see what we can do to see to it that ABCD goes the way it's intended? Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Chair and the member. I will try and answer some, and the team here will add some of the issues. I think the first question was on the ESCOM. What oversight do we exercise on ESCOM as it relates to some of the outages? But what we surely some information we can get more from ESCOM in specific area. But generally what we do, I mean, we did mention that we are currently monitoring the investment program that's going to ensure that there's enough energy system. We also get the regular report from ESCOM and to, you know, if there are shutdowns, why and how can they avoid them. There have been, I think during the crisis here in the Western Cape, there were a number of interventions made by ESCOM, including agreements with the shop owners and all that to use the generator, and ESCOM would pay them back. So there are a number of options that ESCOM is able to enter into discussions with the relevant users. Maybe that's one of the things we can look at and follow up with you and see if we can get specific answer in that case. Yeah. But the reason why ESCOM is rolling out this 150 billion infrastructure program is precisely to ensure that we don't have those problems. There are issues around, especially on distribution, where in some cases the municipalities would be the ones actually who are responsible for bringing the electricity into the houses. And not all the areas are covered by ESCOM. Yeah. Okay. The issue of recapitalization, we don't simply throw money into a problem. What we insist on is it has to be proven, demonstrated that this company will survive. We see this as part of an investment for us as shareholders. So we go through a process that you find in any company, even in the private sector. Shareholders want to put money. They would have very clear due diligence. They will have conditions to the capitalization. And we do get that as well from players. They don't just put money. They will say, we want to see the business plan, turnaround strategy, the target date, the timeline, and they will put conditions to say, we put in this money, this thing, we will get reports every month, we must assess it, and then once there's something wrong, that the profit is not met, then we'll put him out. If it has to die, let it die, but there's nothing else we can do. Now, in cases like Dinar, clearly, there is a strategy that we are pursuing. We have made some progress. We are even engaging other parties who have already bought in some part of Dinar. We are bringing in other equity owners. So we think, you know, we are getting the return out of this recapitalization process. And in cases like FAA, for example, I think, you know, the minister has been in the media also indicating that, you know, there are deadlines. If FAA cannot perform better by a certain time, then we let it go. So we do really go through a rigorous process, and knowing treasures as well, they will never release money if there is no business case for it. Yeah, sure.
I think honourable members also, just to go maybe one or two or three years back, the members may recall that in the future period, in the past period, about 3 years ago, the intention was to significantly restructure these federal enterprises and really go on a very big private sector involvement, privatization type of process, and really get as much of these state businesses into private sector as they could be probably better operated as well. Of course, there have been a couple of years where not much has happened, but there also has been some rethinking government that said, well, we do have these assets. Like, for instance, in the case of the broadband infrastructure company, where these were assets that were in the hands of government. Perhaps we should take a relook at these assets and find some way to utilize these better. And I think pretty much that informs a number of the recapitalization of SMEs at this point in time, to what a significant shift from let us get out of these businesses as much as possible to let us rather now leverage these to a large greater extent in support of economic growth and development and support of these funds. So that has also necessitated some reinvestment and recapitalization in some of these businesses, where maybe in the past it would have been that government not put money in, let us take it to the private sector.
Yeah, are you okay? Okay. Muniba, would you with the question on disability?
So, in respect of how employees accommodate the physically able person, the department works very closely with the employees in the development of their corporate plans, and we also have a shareholder agreement. So, in addition to monitoring services about indicators on financial performance and strategic outcomes, we also monitor the progress of employees with regards to gender and equity transformation, and then also the degree to which they incorporate persons who are physically able. So, and also skills development services they have in place to support these people. So, on an annual basis, we do an assessment, and the programs differ from SOE to SOE, but we feel satisfied that all the SOEs have, I mean, it's obviously because of the historical composition of some of the SOEs, they are more male-dominated or less suitable for physically able persons. But we're satisfied that there's significant progress in that regard. Then, when the SOEs do the annual report, primarily to the portfolio committee, though, they are expected to report on progress on all those elements, including physical performance. And once a year, we do a special report to the portfolio committee on those elements. So what we can arrange with the select committee is that we do the presentation to the select committee as well, so that we can more closely monitor those in that regard.
Chair, there was a question on on Alipco. Yes, we do remember at that time to request testimony from the Madam. In fact, we are putting that together so that before you go, I think in June, and attend the same committee for you to visit Aleppo. Yeah, so we do have some information that we needed to make sure that also the minister, because there was a letter to the minister about it as well, so the minister was sent to look at the report. So definitely we'll provide the report, but broadly, on Aleppo, you would recall that, as I mentioned earlier, we now have a deal with the community. We're being negotiated the deal with the past 10 years, but now the deal has been signed. We just need to go to court so that it's the order of court. And then we get the PLC be established by August, and then the money flows. And then on the other side, the non-mining side, the community will start taking over the number of the businesses there, but make sure that we create necessary companies for them. That's one. The second issue relates to the financial performance of Aleppo. It has been shadow rating. The issues of carriers being very down below the budget, but also the CJ, the loss making of ABG. I mean, it has just made things worse. And as we were having discussions with the community, it was also difficult for us to sell anything in Aleppo, because the community was saying, no, there's a discussion, you can't sell anything. So even if we wanted to close down some parts of Aleppo, we couldn't because of this discussion. But now, now that the deal, we should be able to move on some of the issues. On the MOU with the DGM, that's something that we're going to work with DMV, but we will go there as a package to say already we have a deal with the community. So the issue of DGM must not compromise the deal we have with the community. That's the there were a number of issues from the board. Blah blah. Generally, our governance unit, they have a database of all the board members. In fact, there was a question, I think maybe you have an answer that, which the minister is preparing an answer to parliament on all the board members and on how many boards they see on. So that's also coming. But even on the annual report, I think one can see that board member attended the meeting, because that's also helpful for us, that they must flow to the experience, the qualification, whether that board member was attending the meeting, how much are they getting paid for the meeting, also the annual report. So it's a requirement that they must flow. Yes, you are absolutely correct on the turnaround strategy that we're talking about. That as long as we don't make sure that there are clearly defined KPI targets, then it doesn't mean anything. I guess we should find a way of making some of this information available, so that when we talk about the turnaround strategy, SAA, you can see exactly what are the outputs, what is expected, and when. That's, I think, the real organization of it. Yeah.
On the SAA one in particular, because it is so critical at the moment, the members might be aware of some of the research reports of the international world-renowned aviation consultant from there has just been a third phase developed at the moment. So in fact it's under review at the moment by the department of the third phase. So there's a process of interrogating that between ourselves and National Treasury, we would get management and consultant feedback, they would film up whatever. So in the case of FAA, we are not yet in fact at the stage where we pick those decisions to further our statement to have a shape in those areas. But at the point when it's done over the next maybe 4 weeks, then maybe we could look at finding
Yes, on the process suspension fund, it was largely handled by, again, our legal and legislation and legislative process. I was involved in it to an extent. I believe that the section has been started up and indeed Mason said it's not to be touched, but I will confirm that with our legal people and then.
You have a question on our influence on this association. Look, broadly, we are state-owned company, and we appoint the board. We have shareholder meetings with them. We approve corporate plans. We monitor their performance. Results, we approve the corporate plan and the funding plan. So there is that, as it relates to the responsibility of the shareholder, that is good. And beyond that, it has to be a board. Your governance structure. The board, which we have appointed, must make sure that they work with management to make sure that the company meets its strategic objectives. So our influence relates to all the shareholder issues and responsibilities, as I mentioned. As far as I'm concerned, I think we do have sufficient power on our employees, so that if there is anything that we don't agree with the way that we should be able to affect them. Yes.
But in addition, also the minister meets every quarter with the CEO and at the CEO forum, and we also meet with the chairpersons of the chairpersons of the chairpersons of the all the so the idea is also that there's some coordination of strategic thinking, even across the SOEs, and it helps with policy coherence and alignment, programmatic alignment. Of course, without interfering in the solution.
Yeah, I think the thing is under the compensation is in politics. I wanted to deal with the media element. What we are saying, clearly the nuclear policy strategy from GMB would give us a framework why are we going into nuclear. But essentially, the nuclear issue comes from our energy sources that we need to diversify, and rely on coal. There are environmental issues and we need to identify other sources like solar and renewable energy. Now, you would know that in other countries as well, they are looking at nuclear. Advanced countries have nuclear for energy. That's what we are using. We want our energy. what I was saying earlier is we are not taking away from Eskom. Eskom has a huge nuclear conventional nuclear program. When I say conventional, I mean like nuclear stuff. They are planning in the next 20 years or so. They will be bringing on board 22,000 megawatts into two units. Now, the relationship with PDMR, if you recall, PDMR, this is a paper death modular reactor. This is advanced generation for nuclear capability that we are one of the few countries that deploy the technology. And there are a number of benefits that are also coming out of that, not only for energy. You can have other industrial applications, processing and all that. So there are a number of benefits. But now, the key thing has been you have to demonstrate that. So that's what we've been working on with regard to PDMR. They must build a demonstration power plant, and then they will then, after that, sell electricity to ESCOM. Okay. Now, what the proposition that is on the table now is that we need to align the nuclear program of ESCOM and what PDMR is doing around the technology and find a way of integrating PDMR. Currently, it's a subsidiary, technically, it's a subsidiary of ESCOM, but you have other shareholders like IDC, working around, who are part of PDMR. Now, what we want to do now is to make sure that only owned by government, but through ESCOM, and that they can then integrate the technology into the nuclear program of ESCOM. That's what we're going to do. Okay. Compensation?
Compensation, if you look at our overall budget for last year and this year, it's 49 million last year and it will be 59 million this year. In some of the programs, it looks very skew, and that's because of the restructuring that we had to do. I want to explain to the committee also that when we budget at the beginning of, or when we do our budget, we budget as if we have a full establishment. But during the year, you always have turnover, you always have vacancies. You'll be filling and posts won't be filled. And that is why normally at the end of the year you'll see a revised estimate and you do final environments and things like that. We try and manage it as best we can, and obviously we want to have a full complement of staff. So ultimately, including we provide for increases, the increase that was approved, okay, not the increase that's being done now, we provide for performance bonuses and for a full complement of staff. I see where you were coming from in terms of the units. For instance, transport, there was a huge increase, but it's because the aggregated figures, transport was in program 4 last year, so there was a cross-cutting thing when they had the matrix teams in the units. In program 4 last year, they were cross-cutting with different SOEs, so they were using matrix teams, so it was very difficult. The people we moved, yes, but even that changed because we built in the aviation sector now. So if you look at it overall, it sort of makes a bit more sense. I mean, if you look at the units as such, and I hope that answers your question.
Thanks,
Sam.
Any questions? Sure, I think the last one was on in Nepal. through our SOEs, ESCOM, NERV, and Transnet, there is significant participation in other countries around infrastructure development, and that's what we encourage our SOEs to do. But also in some of the bilateral commissions that we have, we also bring our SOEs to make sure that they take some roles in infrastructure development. For example, Mozambique, ESCOM, plays a critical role So what we were talking about earlier from the ACF unit was what we want to do is to have as a strategy, Africa strategy, that will inform the SOE so that as they go in the part of an overarching phase.
Thank you very much. Do we have other issues to raise? I can see Honorable Henry, Honorable Matoela, is there any other hand? Oh, in that order. Thank you.
Won't keep it long. Come back to that. I just want to remind on the transport. On the transport issue, I already said before that the Karoo was dying. And the work, I think the plan has put the revised the trains on the both the cargo and the other trains on the main line. This kind of all our small places in the design up. And it was said that the plan has put to look at that and also interlinking lines to work and use the tourism. I just want to know that the last form of discussion. And then of course again, what influence has it got on the trade practice of the CEOs of the
Thank you, Chair. My question is on the issue of the obtaining mining rights. There must be another company to pay for support of this venture. So, especially in the country, our communities are very, most of the time, illiterate, and haven't got much information on how to do these things. So, if they want to obtain mining rights, is there enough information and support for them? Guiding them how to do these things, because the richer people, they are the people with the information, with the education and all these things. So they are the ones who most of the time benefit because they have this power of education. So what is the department doing to help and bring up the poorest of the poor and the illiterate and the undereducated to also be able, or in future be able, to obtain this mining right. The second question is in relation to South African Airways. In my speech in the House, I especially mentioned that in relation to the staff that if possible, we should give them a better deal, if we can, than we have now. But afterwards, on television, the minister mentioned that there will be staff reduction. So if the department can broaden a little bit on that, what the department's view is on that issue. Thank you very much.
Over to the question.
Shall we just deal with some of the issues and the similar. I think there was an issue around the remuneration of CEOs. Broadly, I mean, this is what we talked about earlier, that there has been an uproar the public about the level of salaries of CEOs and what we are working on as part of the governance team is to come up with some guidelines so that if you are outside the guidelines. So that will assist. But currently the arrangement that we have is the board would go through a process of appointing CEO and agreeing on the terms subject to the minister's approval. So that's the process. So we do have a say in saying, you can't go beyond this
current. This would be honored anybody earning more than 30%.
Okay. There are issues, though, honorable member, around how do we also attract skills into this SOE. So we need to also balance, because we are also competing with other employers for skills. But having said that, we still need to have a reasonable framework on remuneration so that it's not insensitive to the level of poverty. Then the issue of, yes, I think we that is the reason why we couldn't get out of Aleppo, precisely because we don't trust other big companies, and also that we would really leave the community astray if we don't make sure that we are in there. We have been working with the lawyers and the community, and we have been paid for all their legal expenses throughout. And the plan is to, that's why we're saying we continue to have 1% there. Because in terms of migrant law, they don't have currency, they don't have mining rights on the sea. Only the state has mining rights on the sea. So they have the land back, but they still have to apply for the mining rights. So we will, because we are part of Aleppo as a shareholder to one of them, we will be working together with them through the GSA to make sure that they get their mining rights, and the arrangement that we will also have to make sure that they also benefit from the marine tax. Hence we have to join the venture. So I think from our side there is a lot that we are working in the community. And then I think
In terms of the minerals and petroleum the transfer of money rights, the only for people who can communicate financial and technical companies. And that is one of the reasons that we decided to go into the PSA, because obviously in the settlement, we agree that the land mining rights to be transferred to the community. The minister of mineral security would not have consented to that matter if the community could not show the financial and technical competence to mine that area. So to address that issue, this whole PSA the kind of play Aleppo has the competence to run that mine, so the community the community can then acquire this mine.
Okay.
Okay.
There are some questions on that.
We don't have a specific, let's say, a specific study or specific budget or anything allocated in the financial based on the issue. We are engaged in a process with WorldNet, which this is where we do a lot of things because there's several services we get paid and just, you know, the salaries that we work with. We are in a project with SquareNet, the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism, the Department of Transport, around two things. One, execution of policy, the issue in the National Freight and Logistics Strategy about setting up the railway utility and then transferring the branch line from SquareNet into the railway utility area, basically. Utility manage a lot of these things because SquareNet, unfortunately, and there may have been a project around this or a process around this, but it's unfortunately kind of fallen by the wayside because they are so caught up with trying to move
freight, you know, for by the customers and trying to do what they can to keep the economy moving, and in a way to prevent the road transport from, you know, even gaining more market share. So, and of course they are dealing with their significant capital investment program as well. We are in the process from a kind of a policy or strategy implementation side with environmental affairs department to get the very utility bank so that we can get all of these branch lines out of square and have those lines and operations on those lines manufactured. Within that, we are specifically at this point in time looking at rail tourism. We have a particular issue in KwaZulu-Natal, but there's also some issues in the West Cape about rail tourism that has declined to some extent because of some problems with Quernet, in fact, withdrawing those services. So we are also in the process, the minister is in engagement with the Minister of Environmental Affairs and Tourism and also with some of the MECs in the provinces around how to deal with this problem. Unfortunately, the thing at the moment is it doesn't look like there's any quick fix solution to this, and rather looks like it's going to be a bit of a lengthy policy process to deal with some of these, or policy implementation process.
The branch line. But I'm not the one about the main line. The main line has died in the last 10 years. I think we discussed that with us. From a business point of view, we were waiting for things from Cape Town, and this is in Durban. We couldn't sort of manana it will come when it will come. And the suggestion was that we had to perhaps that the rebels have to look at separating the kind of goods that they were delivering. Some of the overnight, some of the entire day, going to Thailand, pick up, to revive the line, they've lost it to the market because they can't deliver on time. But it doesn't need a what sort of time just to work the thing out, you know, and just to get onto the line for 3 or 4 months and extend into the thing. What way? It just needs somebody to get in there and do it. You know, and these people upset me that we're going from month to month, year to year, and people are dying on the good news, there's no jobs, there's nothing happening, you know, and we're looking to get jobs to people. And you know, all the little places that they were dependent in the building on the railway. I mean, you go look like you in a some kind of western thing, and you see a hotel just falling apart. There's nothing here. I mean, we don't need to do something here. We can do it. So I'm making a passionate plea on behalf of the people in Peru that something needs to be done. If they need my help, to come here and begin on something. I will certainly offer my service.
Sir, rest before you come. It would seem Honorable McConnell wants to say something.
Sorry, but
no, I don't want to interrupt the caravan. Yeah, I guess
so. So that when we say... No, sir, I think that let's tell the department that this is what we need to especially in the case of employees, but now you hear that there is a likelihood that the retrenchment, the packages, we just
worry sometimes when we say the material sense to the positive, and just few weeks down the line, that's why you want to understand as well as department has very interesting systems of that nature. And then lastly, with regard to CEO, you know, I see that the department is worried about the job they are getting. I don't know what the position is. And they seem to be more complicated than it needs to hide. But then, sometimes you hear that the CEO is the director, the board is in the board of director, what, for more than 14 companies. So, and you ask yourself a question. How is this man going to be hands-on, or this man is going to be hands-on on the particular job that he or she is supposed to be doing? I don't know how much influence we have out there, but I think sooner than later that's what we need to address. I don't know how. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chair, through you. Just as a quick last response left on the issue. I think if I must understood the question the first time, please forgive me. Transnet is running a process called Bulindlela, which you may have heard about. It's a major business process re-engineering project, mainly in the railways and in the ports, to improve their efficiency and their productivity and how they operate. The top 10 re-engineering projects, the first 6 are working in because of the critical issues in Oryx and Soli, they're receiving a lot of attention at the moment, or they started. The intention is in the coming 18 months to focus a bit more on the general space. And the line you're talking of is on the general space. So that they will be giving attention to that. So we, our jobs are concerned that general space doesn't have enough to be given attention. The minister, in fact, is going to have a discussion around some of the certain issues with the partners. So we would like to see some of that. There's something about some of this mainline. There has been some progress, though. Kurnet has set up a national operations center with several regional operations centers. That's beginning to work very well, where they are coordinating train schedules in much better conditions. So maybe we can just have a check to see whether, say, from 6 months ago to now, whether there's been some improvement on that particular line. You know? But the understanding is that the National Operations Center and the new management structures in place are giving good results on the general space. And then on the, while sorry to you while I am on the mic, as it were, on the SAA staff reduction issue. I think the issue is maybe a technicality, but in terms of the agreement with labor, the transferring of SAA to government for the time of SAA to government was fully compliant with the labor act in particular. 197, and no one was in fact working. Benefits to all employees are still the same as they were under Transnet. The geographical trading year of the business, amongst a number of other things, in terms of also global benchmarking and looking at how they are staffed, where they are overstaffed. So there's been some, let's say, due to operational requirements, the need for the 1,000 jobs that the minister is proposing. But despite that, the people that are there are not, you know, they're technically successful. There is in fact a challenge on their packages, in particular with the pilot, which actually makes it quite uncompetitive. They are not making a lot of their global routes, a lot of their international. They in fact, the packages to the pilots are over the general. So
But that was absorbed into the science. So, but it may be something that over the next 2 or 3 years.
Thank you very much. I checked it, we've exhausted all the issues we wanted to raise.
You want to
start?
Yeah?
No, no, no.
I just want to say, we have a different statement because we are responsible for the oversight. Now, we call the oversight the general oversight. One thing is, because the oversight is not the report.
They were very thankful for the lacking information you have given us, and I believe when we check to stage on the 22nd, we will talk a little sense. In the event of us being in need of some of this information in between, through our secretary and through those who will communicate, and please provide us with the little decision we might need so that when we go and debate with the people, so that everybody agrees with us. Not because they are fragile, but because we talk in a convincing way. And I think that's what you would like to see again. During the debate of your budget, would you? So please help us. Otherwise, thank you very, very much.